Wow, 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 wow. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Buongiorno. Good to see you. Why don't you make your way back to your seats if you could? And you can catch up with that conversation in the cafe area for hospitality straight after the service. Great to be back with you today. We've been away for a few weeks, as Cheryl said. Actually, haven't been in church for 3 weeks, which is like, wow. It's unusual not being in church when you're pastors and being away, so I've kind of got to relearn what I do and how to preach and all of that this morning. So if I say anything I shouldn't say, apologies in advance today. Still got a little bit of jet lag, so anything could happen, and it probably will. Anything could happen, and it probably will. I want to give a big thank you to all of our amazing team, to Pastors Daryl and Marichal for their leadership. Why don't you give them a big hand? For our pastors and our team that just cared for our church so brilliantly while we've been away, and everything that's been planned and arranged for the Christmas period, which is really exciting. I love what we do for our community over the Christmas time. Like the gathering of the food for the hampers is amazing. It just helps so many people. The gifts for the children who have parents that are incarcerated. What an amazing thing it is to be able to give gifts to kids that you'll never see their smiles, but you'll put a smile on their face. And that's always a good thing to do. For our Christmas lunch, who's looking forward to that on the 18th of December? That'll be a great day. So lots of things planned, lots of things happening. Just make sure you're fully aware. I know church news kind of skips along pretty quickly in a service, but you can go to our webpage and you can gather all the information from there. It is good to be home. We went to some of the most amazing cities in the world and saw some amazing sights, and it was an exhausting few weeks, to be honest with you, just keeping up the pace of seeing everything. We dropped into Rome, went to the Pope's house, and he was apparently home. He was apparently home. I wanted to do communion with him, but we didn't get to see him, but we got to see his home. Can I just say, he lives in a pretty impressive house. A pretty impressive house. It's amazing to see the Vatican and just to be there and experience all of that, and to be in awe of the beautiful world that we live in, and everything that just exists out there. I went to Greece, and that was amazing to be there and to see those sights and just to travel. It was an amazing privilege. We want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to do that, to be away, and just to know that things are in good hands while we're away. And that's always a good thing for pastors to know that. Well, we've been on a journey for the last, I don't know how many weeks, because I can't think, where our team have been talking about faith to finish, having a faith to finish. And Pastor Marichal launched that series, did two parts in that, talking about the fact that if you're going to finish your faith, if you're going to get to the finish line, there is a finish line. There is a finish line. There's a finish line for our faith. There's a race to run. And Pastor Marichal was talking about the fact that we need to be in a strong, solid sense of community and connection together, because it's not a solo race. It's kind of a race we do together. It's a journey we do together as a church family and as a church community. And she was highlighting how we need each other for that. We need each other for the journey if we're going to have a faith to finish. And then we had Pastor John Rewald last week, who was talking about loving God, loving people, and the mix right throughout the series as being that we do all of that to do good, to do good things. This is a season to do good things. Come on. The Christmas season that we're coming into. Who's kind of scared by the fact that Christmas has come so quickly? I mean, where did it come from? It just kind of snuck up on the calendar really quickly, and it's almost here. It's a season to do good. To do good things. The Bible says that everywhere that Jesus went, he healed the sick and he did good things. He healed the sick and he did good things. And that's what we're called to do. Make sure you're doing some good to the people around your world during this period. So I want to continue this series thought today. We're going to conclude today. Next week we start our Christmas series, which will go right throughout the December period. To be honest with you, when I came home, I really scratched my head in terms of what I was going to share today, and preach today because I'd been away for 3 weeks and had a holiday. And I really did have a holiday. I just forgot about everything and had a good break. And the problem with that is getting your head re-engaged. Because I'm such a pattern person, and once I've broken the pattern, it's kind of initiating it again was a little bit frustrating for me. And this week was I was still supposed to be on holidays, but I had to get into the office and just try and knuckle down and get some thoughts so I could be a little bit more than delirious today. So faith to finish. The Apostle Paul says this in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 at the end stages of his life and ministry after he'd done what God had placed him here on earth to do. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've remained faithful. And now a prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that great day of his return. How many of you know there's a race to run? Yeah. There is a race to run. Paul talks about this throughout the scriptures in various places as being a race of faith. A race of faith. And he says, I've run my race. I'm nearly at the end. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm just about done. I'm just about finished. And he says, I've remained faithful. I've remained faithful. Everyone say faithful. 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 I've remained faithful. I've remained full of faith until the end, committed to the task. And he says, there's a prize. There's a prize. Who loves prizes? Who loves surprises? Come on, we do. We love prizes and surprises. And Paul says, there's a prize that awaits me. There's a crown of righteousness that the Lord Jesus will give me. He's the righteous judge, and he'll give it to me on that great day when he returns. In the book of Hebrews, which is thought to be written possibly by the Apostle Paul, in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. If you're going to run the race, run it well. Go hard or go home is our saying. That's what we say in Australia. Go hard or go home. And that's what the writer here is saying. Run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this. He talks about focus, but keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. How many of you know that you need Jesus all the way? Yeah. You need Jesus all the way. In actual fact, the further you run, the more you become conscious of needing him. Yeah. I need him every day. I need him every moment. I need him every minute. I need him because he sustains my faith. And so Paul speaks of faith as a journey, as a fight, as a race. It's a race to run. It's a race to finish. It's a race that demands faithfulness. It's a race that demands endurance. It's a race that demands focus. You know, faith, if you're going to have a faith to finish, you need to have a faith that is not like a one-time event. It's not a once-off event. It's not a set-and-forget thing. It's not a been there, done that. I expressed faith once. It's an ongoing journey. It's a way of living. It's a walk. It's a race. It's a pattern. It's a consistency. It's more than a formality. It's not just a feeling. It can't be reduced to a formula. It's not mystical. It's not magical. In actual fact, it's very practical. There is a start. There is a race, and there is a finish. There is a prize. There is a reward. Our faith is extremely practical. Pastor Myra Schell gave this definition of faith, that faith is the complete trust or confidence in someone or something. The complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And of course, our complete trust is in this one that we're required to focus on, who starts our faith, who finishes our faith, which is Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, him. He sustains us all the way. The Bible gives another definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1, where it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's a conviction. Everyone say conviction. Conviction. Say conviction like you have conviction. Conviction. It's a conviction of things not seen. In other words, faith sees the unseen. Faith sees the unseen. It sees possibilities. It understands promises that have not yet been received will one day be received by God's people. Faith is seeing what others don't see. It's empowering us to finish the race that God has marked out for every one of us. You know, one of the things I'm so thankful for in this season of life, having come through the last few years as a world, and it is as a world. One of the things I really noticed while we're overseas, watching more world news than I would normally watch, is just how challenging world events are right now economically. Economically, like there's numbers of people that think the challenges that we have in Australia are related to the fact that we have a change of government, and that change of government is not the government they voted for, and therefore the government has messed everything up. Well, the reality is it wouldn't matter what government is in, our nation and our world is in severe economic concern right now with what's going on across our world, with inflation, with the increased prices that are going on, with everything that's happening as a result of the war and the challenges that are going on with all of that. And so it's a really challenging time right across the world, this post pandemic time, and the consequences and the fallout right across the world in terms of what the pandemic has done to our world. So I'm really thankful. Our team is extremely thankful for people that have just remained faithful. People that have just remained faithful and continued to run the race in spite of everything that has gone on, that is going on, and that will go on. That we remain faithful and we keep our eyes on Jesus. Those that have remained faithful to connection. Those that have remained faithful to community, to serving, to engagement. Those that have remained faithful to giving and generosity and just honouring the Lord in your financial journey. Those that have remained faithful to friendship. Those that are running with endurance. Those that do what family do. Can I just say a big thank you to you? A big thank you to you for remaining faithful. Because for some, it's been a really challenging season, a difficult season. It's been a season where they've really realigned the way they do life, their patterns in life. For some, they've finished their faith. And some have walked away from faith altogether right across the world, and then some have really just decided, you know what, I don't need church in the way that I do my life, which is really a short-term way to play the game and to run the race, and it's not a good end point, that's for sure. You know, the truth is we all go through challenging seasons, we all go through our challenging moments and experiences that challenge our peace and challenge our passion. Both our peace and our passion. Some fell into disappointment, some fell into disillusionment, some fell into disengagement, some into lifestyles of complacency. And I think this whole theme of having a faith to finish is a word for the moment, is a word for the moment as we begin to frame our Christmas season. God wants you to finish much more than this year. There's another one coming really quick, 2023. Josh mentioned it, 2023. It's almost, can you believe it's nearly 2023? So where did the last 23 years go? It seems like yesterday we were all panicking about the year 2000 coming and the collapse that was going to happen in the year 2000. Well, we survived that, and all the prophets of doom that were around and predicting and prophesying the end of the world at the time, where are they now? We're here in 2023 and we're still doing okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. Well, we're here to finish the race. We're here to run well. And I think one of the great keys to having faith to finish is learning to think right, to live right. Is learning to think right, to live right. You know, thoughts are such a powerful thing, and I'm going to jump on this theme all over it next year for a little bit, because thoughts are so powerful in the way that we live our life, do our journey, and express our faith. The way we live out our faith, the way we engage with others, the community, the connection that we have, the loving God, the loving people, the doing good, a lot of it boils down to our thought processes and the way we think about others, about our faith, about church, about God, about ourselves, about our families, about our relationships. Thoughts are so dominant, so powerful, because thoughts guide and direct. They determine our faith capacity is what thoughts do. They govern who we become and what we do. In real terms, thoughts form our future. Thoughts form our future. That's why the Bible says so much about thoughts, and it really does. So much about the renewing of the mind, the renewing of our attitudes of our heart, which is our mind, and making sure that we're aligned with the Word of God. The reality is, if you don't think right, you can't live right. If you don't think right, you can't live right. Have you ever said to a friend when they've done something dumb? Anyone ever had a friend do something dumb? Anyone ever been that friend? Anyone in dumb right now? Don't look at your neighbor. I'm pretty confident. I don't need to be a prophet to declare today. There's probably a few in the room or maybe online today that are in dumb right now. Have you ever had a friend that's about to do something dumb, or they have done something dumb, and they come to you and they talk about it, and you go, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? What did you think was going to happen when you did that? What did you think was going to happen when you said that? What were you thinking? What you're thinking is so important. That's a good thing to say to your friends. If you don't think right, you can't live right. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way. There is a way that appears. Everyone say appears.
Appears.
Appears to be right. Just because it appears doesn't mean it's a way to take. Just because it appears. Here, the writer in his wisdom says there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. It's not about the appearance, it's about the end. What's in the end? What's at the tail? What's the kick? What's the payoff? What's the promise? What's the prize? What's the reward? What's the take home? At the end of that appearance, we get so concerned with the appearances of things, but it's not about the appearance, it's about what it leads to. Will it lead to life, or will it lead to death? Just because it appears to be right doesn't make it right. Just because it appeals to my flesh doesn't make it right. Just because it's good to me doesn't mean it's good for me. It's like gelato. It appears right. It looks good. It even feels good. But too much gelato, and you're in trouble. Too much pasta, too much pizza, too much lasagna, too much of anything is not good for you. Just because it feels right doesn't make it right. Just because it feels good doesn't make it good. Wrong sometimes appears to be right. Wrong sometimes appears to be right. This is where we need real wisdom, because it's about what's at the end of it. What's the hook? What's going to happen with this pathway? If we don't get the thinking right, we'll be led by what appears to be right, and yet what appears to be right sometimes can actually lead to death. Death of hopes, death of dreams, death of opportunities, death of desires. There's a lot of death that can happen as a result of things appearing to be right that aren't right. So what I want to do today is I want to ask five questions, and we're going to seek some answers about these things. These five questions, the answers help us to navigate a faith that will be a faith to finish. A faith to finish. Like the Apostle Paul, that you could get at the end of your race and you could say, I'm almost ready to be poured out like a drink offering. That's what he said. My life is almost done. I've almost finished what God apprehended me for. And he says, I've run the race. I've run the race. I've remained faithful, full of faith. And I'm about to get the prize that God is going to give me. So here we go, five questions. First question about having a faith to finish is this, is what are you focused on? What are you focused on? Because the writer of Hebrews says, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Do you know God sets a race for us? God sets a race. It's not just my race, not just your race, not just our race. It's God's race. He's marked out a path. He's marked out a journey. He's marked out a race and a life and a faith for us to live. And the writer says, we do this. We run this race with endurance. In other words, we have a faith to finish by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. And so Paul speaks of keeping focus on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, on whom our faith journey, our faith life, our faith expression, our faith capacity depends. So here's my questions. Where is Jesus in your view? Where is he in your view? Is he in focus? Is he in the center? Is Jesus at the center? Is he first and foremost, primary, above all else? Because if he's not, he's out there. And the trouble with being out there is other things are in the center. And the more things you start to place in the center, the further and further he gets pushed out. And the further he gets pushed out, it becomes into your peripheral. It's like if you have an eye problem. If you have a problem with one of your eyes, as a certain member on the front row has today, if you have a problem with one of your eyes, you can see clearly in the center, but it's all blurry out there. Also happens when you get older. Things start to get blurry. And I think sometimes Jesus just gets a little bit blurred. We lose clarity. We lose sight so easily. So where is Jesus in your view? Where is Jesus in your choices? Where is Jesus in your choices? Because Jesus wants to be involved in some of the choices that you make, in some of the choices and decisions that you make. Like when you decide you want to get married, how about you ask Jesus about that? How about you have a talk to him about that? How about you ask the Holy Spirit about that? You want to start something big? How about you ask God about that? How about you ask the Holy Spirit about that? How about you ask Jesus to come into that decision-making process? How about you make Jesus a partner of everything that you do? When you want to buy a house, why don't you pray and ask God to help you buy the house? Why don't you pray for God to make a way and make it clear? Which house? Not just the house. Which house, God? That house. Thank you. That's mine. When you want to be doing something big, see, I can't talk. If you want to be doing something big, don't be doing it alone. It's much easier when you have the Holy Spirit on your side, but you have Jesus working with you. Where is Jesus in our decisions? Where is Jesus in our decisions? If we are going to run with endurance and have a faith to finish, we need to focus on the right things. Paul says this in Philippians. He says, I don't mean to say I've already achieved everything and got it all together. I haven't reached perfection yet. He says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. In other words, Paul is saying, God apprehended me. He took a hold of me. This is the picture of this verse, that Christ grabbed me, arrested my life, and empowered me to live a certain way. And he says, I haven't yet achieved everything he wanted me to do, and so I'm going to press in, and I'm going to lean in, and I'm going to give myself towards this race. And he says, no, my dear brothers and sisters, I've not yet achieved, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I want you to notice he says one thing, but he makes it two. And the two are actually one. It looks like two. It appears to be two. But it's not two. It's actually one. Because you can't look forward while you're looking back. And so he makes looking back and looking forward one thing. In other words, he says, I've stopped looking back and I'm looking forward. I've stopped looking. If your focus today is in the past, in what's happened, in what broke, in what didn't work, in what you let down or others let you down, or what he said, she said, they did, whatever, whatever's happened, look, as long as you're living, someone's going to be hurting you. Something's going to happen. Someone's going to do something and say something to upset you, to offend you, to rupture you. And if we live with this mindset of always looking back at what's happened, we can't move forward. So Paul says, I'm forgetting the past and I'm looking forward to what's ahead. He had a lot in the past he had to forget and forgive and move on from. And he said, I'm straining and pressing to move on to everything that Christ has taken a hold of me for. Do you know, our problem as human beings is when it comes to focus, we have a limited bandwidth. A limited bandwidth when it comes to focus. It's very limited. There's only so many things that I can focus on, like in terms of my capacity. Mentally and emotionally. There's only so many things that I can take, and my people know when I'm maxed out. Like when I'm maxed out, they know. When I'm maxed out, they can tell because I've reached my peak. I've reached my limit. I've reached my capacity, and I just kind of shut down. I shut down. The shutters go up. The screensaver comes up, and my head just goes, no more. Can't take any more information in about that situation. I'm just done. Done. You've got to know your capacity. Paul knew his capacity. He said, I'm focusing on one thing. One thing I'm focusing on, and that is moving life forward towards everything that Christ has for me. You know, most people major on minors, and that's the problem. They major on the minor things that aren't really the important things of life. There is a number of things in life that are really important. Really important. There's more than one thing that's important. That one thing that Paul talks about actually encapsulates all of these things into it. So I want to talk to you about several things that I think are important to you that will help you play the long game, because what matters is playing the long game, not the short game. Playing the long game when it comes to this race of faith, that you would finish. It doesn't matter how good you start. You can be a great starter, but unless you're a finisher, you've not actually run the race. You started the race. God wants you to finish the race. Turn to your neighbor and say, finish. Finish. Finish the race that God has marked out for you. So let me step you through just quickly the coach's wheel of life. Many of you know I'm a coach. I'm a professional life coach. It's part of what I do. It's part of who I am. And being a professional life coach, there's a little tool that we use called, it's called the wheel of life. And it's called a wheel because it's wheels go round. That's what it's about. The wheels on the bus go round and round. The problem with wheels is they go flat, sometimes in places. And people's lives go flat in certain spaces of life that aren't quite working right. And it affects the journey, the efficiency, and the effectiveness of the race that you're running. Now, for us as believers, number one on the coach's wheel of life is faith. Our faith life, our spiritual growth as a person, to have God first and above all at the center of our lives and of our wheel is our primary concern. Living in alignment with the purpose and the plan of God, and living in a way that you're engaged with your spiritual formation. Do you know, the only person in the room that's responsible for your spiritual growth is you. My spiritual growth is my responsibility. It's my responsibility. There is a time to be a baby. There's a time to grow up. If you've ever had a baby, they're wonderful when they're babies, but you don't want them to stay babies. You want them to actually grow up. That's the plan. They grow up to be responsible adults. They grow up to live well. It's the same with us as believers. We need to be concerned about our spiritual growth. That's why we do what we do. That's why we do life with community and connection and with others. The next is our fitness. Our bodies are important. The Bible says they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are looking at a temple today. I've seen a lot of temples over the last couple of weeks. And this one's old. It's also slightly in ruins. But it's still a temple. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You can have all the plans in the world, but if your body can't take you there, you're going to have problems. And so look after your body, look after your health, because you can't go where your body won't take you. Thirdly, family and friends. How important are they? People you journey with, the relationships and connections that you have, they really matter. There are God-appointed relationships and connections that are in your world that are part of the empowerment for your journey, the empowerment for your race to have a faith that finishes. They are very important. Your emotional health. Your mind health is extremely important. Having a healthy mind is a priority and key to developing a faith that finishes. Being strong emotionally so that you're not led by your feelings that are up and down and in and out every single day. Learning to rule your soul and having a healthy mind. The next four areas on the coach's wheel is the future you, that you're always developing to become better. You never stop growing. You never stop learning. You don't just do your apprenticeship in faith and graduate after a couple of years and then just cruise. You're always growing. You're always developing. You're always learning. You're always growing. You're educating yourself. You're growing in life. And you're becoming the best version of you. You're concerned about your personal development. These are all keys for growing as a person to help you make your significant contribution in life. Your career or your business is extremely important because that empowers you, your job. It empowers you, it resources you, it finances you to do the journey. Money won't make you happy, but it'll help you go on a journey where you can enjoy the journey. So money is important. Anyone in the room think money's not important? Give me your cards. Give me your cash. It's important. It's always important. Money can bless. Money can be generous. Money can provide. Money can resource. Money can help. Money can make a difference for people. And then fun. Fun is so important in life. We are social beings. We need an outlet. We need people that will just come into our world to help us grow and enjoy and love the journey. For me, these are the things that matter, with Christ being at the absolute center. So that is the limit of my bandwidth. If I can get those areas happening in life and flowing in life, it helps me to stay focused on the things that matter and put the distractions away. Paul says in Hebrews 12, he says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." This verse, the imagery of this is with the thought of the games, like the Olympic Games that they started to host in the day when these scriptures were written. We went to Olympia, where they held the very first Olympics, the very first track. And in those days, the runners used to run naked, because everything was done naked back then. I mean, if you've ever been to any of the great museums of the world, every, what do you call those things, statue, is naked. I remember going, we were in France once, and Cheryl was sick. And so I went to the Louvre by myself. Came back with about 3,000 photos. So I'm showing Cheryl all these photos. And she goes, "They're all naked." And I said, "Well, there's a good reason for that. They were all naked." And we're overseas, and we saw David in, I forget where that was, Florence. David, the statue of David in Florence. And poor old David, he's there in all his glory. He's naked. And it's the way they did the big things back then. So when it came to the Olympics, the runners ran naked. And so the crowd of witnesses to the race, they would throw out little nuggets of gold, little shiny things. How many of you know we get distracted by shiny things? Yeah, all the time. The shiny things of life that distract us from the race that we're running. So the crowd would throw out rewards and prizes and gold even. They would throw it out on the track to distract the runners, who would be attracted to the, "Oh, look at that," and go over there and pick it up, and they'd lose their place in the race. You know, there are things that our enemy sends into our path and into our journey to distract us from what God has called us to be. And they come like a light, and like a fly, we're drawn to it. Oh, look, there's a light. And people live like that. You've got to have a sense of focus. There's a good reason that they put those things on horses. What do they call those things? When race horses. Blinkers. Get your blinkers on. Come on, put your hands up like that. Get your blinkers on. Get everything else out of your sight. Get Jesus in the center. Jesus at the center of it all. And that'll help you have a faith to finish. You know, if we're focused on the wrong things, our faith, it will not be a finishing faith. Next, what are your beliefs based on? What are your beliefs based on? You know, the reality is our beliefs all come from someone. From someone. Usually from someone big in our world. The big people in our world, when we're small, they invest so much of our belief, our family of origin, about politics, about religion, about the way we do our money, about the way we do our relationships, about the way we, the culture that we have in life, which is all good. It's all good that we have that frame. But the issue there is that for many of us, we need to reframe some of those things. As good as our parents were and are, they don't always get it right. Like my children know that about us, that we've not always got it right. And there's some things they've had to reframe. We're all in a process of reframing. And for us, we reframe our thinking and our thoughts around the Word of God, around the teachings of the Word of God, around Jesus. I'd rather get my beliefs from the Bible than I would from an atheist, from a philosopher, from a theorist, from a Darwinist, from a humanist, from a Marxist, from an influencer that knows nothing at all. I'd rather get my beliefs from something that has, as Cheryl said before, a firm foundation. The Word of God is there to help us. It's given for us and to us to help us reframe and to have this, what the Bible says is the renewing of the mind, the renewing of our attitudes, that we'd learn to think right, to live right. As the scripture that Cheryl showed before, it says this, I've got the same one in the Message Bible. It says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, not an add-on. They're not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you'll be like a smart carpenter that built his house on a solid rock. The rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit. What a bad day. But nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. What are you fixed to? The rock? Or sand? I'd rather be fixed to rock than I would to sand. The reality is, if our belief foundation is not right, our faith is not a finishing faith. It's not a finishing faith, and it's not a flourishing faith. So what are your beliefs founded on? Make sure they're founded on the Word of God. Thirdly, who are you listening to? What an important question this is. This is a question I often ask people when I hear them say things. I ask them, who are you listening to? Who's influencing you? Because I can hear a narrative that's not you. Every parent knows that. You've seen that in your teenagers. And you get concerned about who they're listening to and the words that they're parroting and the words that they're repeating. It's a question that God asked of Adam way back in the beginning, as recorded in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve had sinned and they realized they were naked, because apparently before sin, nakedness was not a problem. It's only become a problem now after sin. So we live after sin. So for us to run around naked now is wrong. Yeah. So if you see someone running around naked, just tell them, put your clothes on, please. Put your clothes on, please, because it's inappropriate, because we're conscious of it now. They weren't conscious of it prior to sin. And so because Adam knew that he was naked, God said to him, who have you been listening to? Who's been talking to you? Who told you that? Paul, the apostle, asked a similar question when he had problems in a church, in the Galatian church, when there was a group of teachers that came and kind of mixed up the teachings of the gospel with the legalism of their religious beliefs. And Paul said to them, who's bewitched you? Who has entangled you in a different way of thinking and brought this error that has taken truth and has mixed it with something else that has resulted in an outcome that's going to lead to death? Who tricked you? Who tricked you? You know, thoughts always have a source. Can I suggest we need to understand the source of the thought before we embrace the thought? Just because the thought appears on your radar doesn't mean you need to engage it and embrace it. A life thought, a social thought, a political thought, a thought of persuasion. Try and find the source of the thought, because the source of the thought will help you understand where the thought ends, where it leads. Jesus said this. He said, my sheep, they know my voice. They know my voice. There's a voice to listen to. There's a voice to engage with. It's very important we do, because if you listen to the wrong voices, your faith will not be a finishing faith. It will not be a finishing faith. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. They know my voice and they follow my voice. Be careful who you let speak into your life and speak over your life. Be careful. Don't embrace everything that's spoken over your life if you don't know that person, if they're a stranger to you. If they're a stranger to you, be very careful. But the voice of Jesus you know well. The voice of the Holy Spirit you know well, because he will never contradict the pattern of his word. He'll never contradict the content and the truth of his word. And so who are you listening to is an important question to ask yourself to have a finishing faith. Are you taking ownership of your life? Ownership in life is so important for every single person, no matter what stage of life you're at. You soon discover in life that the world does not owe you anything. The world is an opportunity. That's what it is. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to experience, an opportunity to enjoy. The writer of Proverbs tells a story about a man who wasted his life. He says, I passed by the field of a sluggard. Everyone say sluggard. That just means someone that's sitting around all day watching TV, just doing their thing, just wasting life, just gaming all day or whatever it might be. He says, I passed by this sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. In other words, he was a fool. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns and the ground was covered with nettles and its stone wall was broken down. And then I saw and I considered, he says, I thought to myself, and I looked and I received instruction. He says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. It's a powerful word picture and a life lesson for every one of us. The writer's saying that the condition of the man's life is due to his thoughts. He just thought he was entitled to everything, so he just sat there and did nothing. And so therefore his life came to nothing. And he's saying, my observation is that his life is in ruins. And his life is in ruins because of his thoughts and the way that he thought about life. You know, my prayer for every one of us is this. My prayer for every one of us is that we would do what this writer did. That we would observe, that we would reflect, that we would consider, that we would hear wisdom for life, and that we would understand that the condition of our life is due to the thoughts of our mind as a generalization. That the condition of our life is due to the thoughts of our mind. No matter what you have, where you are, where your life is at, we all need to take ownership. Take ownership of our life. Take ownership of where we're at. Take ownership of the moment that we're in. Unless we take ownership and understand where we're at, we will never be able to get to where we want to be and certainly not have a finishing faith. Ownership of our surroundings, ownership of our thoughts. Every improvement of our thinking will show up in our life because God designed us to live with a sense of ownership, a sense of ownership. God created us to lead and take control and have dominion. That's the way we were created as human beings. God created us to work. You know, work is good. I couldn't wait to get back to work. I'd had a holiday. Holidays are great. But you just got to get back home and get to work and mow the lawn and do the weeds, lay the pavers down and do all the work that needs to be done. It's all work. I can't wait to get in the office on Monday. Anyone of us love work? I love work. Created for work. Holidays are great. Rest is great. Leisure is wonderful. You can only sit in the recliner for so long. Seriously. You can only do that for short spurts. You do it for short spurts, it'll help you play the long game. If you do it for too long, we'll be calling you a sluggard. We'll be calling you a sloth. It's not a label anyone wants. How you going, slug? Sloth. You don't want to be known for that. You want to be known for being hardworking, a hardworking man or woman. To be productive. God created us to be resourceful. You know, there's a resourcefulness that God has placed in your spirit to build life. To be entrepreneurial in life, to create, God gives us the ability to dream dreams. God gave you that ability. He designed you that way. God created you to do something positive in life. And so right thinking results in taking ownership to build life and a faith that finishes. We want to run the race well. And lastly, I think this is last. What direction am I headed? Does direction matter? You bet it matters. It matters. When I was sitting on those flights coming back from Abu Dhabi and from Rome to Abu Dhabi, I wanted to look at the flight pattern of the plane. So I had it right in front of me on the seat so I could track where the plane's going, because I wanted it to go home. You know, when you're ready to come home, you're ready to come home. You know what I mean? Like Peter Allen. I remember the days in Qantas where they used to play his song as you flew over the Sydney Harbour Bridge and you're coming home. I still call Australia home. I remember once flying home from Manila in the Philippines. All I wanted to do was get home and get on Aussie soil and have a chicken sandwich with white bread and butter about that thick with salt and pepper. Normal bread, not sweet bread. Didn't want to eat a croissant for breakfast with tomato and cheese that thick. Just wanted some Aussie food. Wanted real bacon. Not this make-believe bacon. None of this maple syrup over it. And just wanted a cheese sanger. Toasted cheese. How good's toasted cheese? Oh, come on. Coffee. Coffee that tastes like coffee. Good to be home. Does direction matter? You bet it matters. You can be running hard, but going the wrong way. Direction matters. There's a race marked out. Everyone say marked out? Marked out. You ever seen those kids? You know, maybe you had those kids. Maybe you were that kid. At school races, they had a race marked out, but this kid just ran differently. Would just run like across lanes and all over the place because they didn't understand the rules of engagement. I stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. I say that to my leaders all the time. They each one have different responsibilities, and I tell them, you stay in your lane. Don't go worrying about this lane over here. That's not your business. Your business is this lane. My business is every lane, but this is your lane. So Brad, he understands his lane. He's running in his lane. He's running his race. When I'm looking in Brad's lane, all I want to see is dust from Brad running down there. And that's what I see, because he's faithful. He's dependable. I know when I look in his lane, I'm just going to see the back of him. He's not wandering over there playing in someone else's lane. He's running his lane, his race. Your race is not someone else's race. It's not good to be go looking at someone else's race and how far ahead they are of you or how far behind they are of you and comparing and thinking you're doing okay looking at everyone else. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. Are you running the race that Christ has marked out for you? Because he's marked out a race. And all that matters is that I'm faithful to his mark. I'm faithful to his calling. I'm faithful to the race that he's marked out for me. And so my thoughts are really important when it comes to the direction that I'm running. Is what I'm doing and thinking going to get me to that finish? Is what I'm doing and thinking serving me well? Is it keeping me on the right path? Is it honoring God? Is it motivating others? Is it inspiring others as I run my race? Because that's what should be happening. You know, for many of us, why don't you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet if you would today. And if you're online today, just lean in right now. For many of us, when it comes to the things I've talked about today, you're doing well with that. You really are. You're doing well with that. And it's just a matter of staying the path and running in the direction you are and keeping the capacity of faithfulness that you've been expressing up until this point in time. And understanding there's a prize and a reward for you for what you do and everything you're giving and living for God for. For others today, maybe there's some changes that need to take place in the way you think. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. It just happens for all of us. to re-harness and re-engage and realign our minds with the Word of God, with the plan of God, with the purpose of God for our lives, because you have been apprehended for a purpose. God engaged you for a reason. There's a lot of good He wants you to do. There's a lot of good things in life that God wants you to invest in. And every time that you invest in good, what you're doing is you're breaking down the power of what the enemy is trying to do in our world whenever you do good. You know, this whole Christmas tree deal with these gifts? That's a whole lot of good we're doing right there. And what happens is we're destroying the works of the enemy. Every time we bring a little gift for a little kid, it's going to open it up with their mum and dad in prison, who can't be their mum and dad over Christmas, who can't hold them on Christmas Day. Give them a gift. We can do good. And it breaks the power of what the enemy's trying to do in the heart and mind of that little child when life says to them, no one cares about you. What you say is, I care. I care. When we give food for hampers, that helps people so much. Yeah. It blesses people so much. It restores faith in humanity so much. When we do that, when we celebrate for our community and with our community, we do Christmas dinners, we get together, we share life together, we do the journey together. When we ring someone up, send them a card, buy them a gift, encourage them, inspire them. When you smile at someone in church, shake their hand, give them a hug, give them a holy kiss. When you meet in the cafe, you share some coffee, you share some food, you sit down with someone, you have a conversation, you show interest, you share the journey, you cheer them on. It makes a big difference. It slams the devil in the face. It destroys the work of the evil one. Jesus came, the Bible says, to destroy the works of the enemy. To destroy the works of the enemy. Do you know how we destroy the works of the enemy? By doing good. Everywhere we go, we do good. Everywhere we go, we do good. You know what will help keep you on the path of having a faith that finishes? Is do good with what you've been given. Do good with what you have been given. Do good. Turn to your neighbor and say, do good. This is a do good season. Be a goody do gooder. If that is even a thing. Let me pray for you. I want to pray for you today, particularly people today that need to just have a reassessment of direction, a reassessment of some of the thoughts today of where Jesus is in the frame of your life, in the frame of your world, in the frame of your mind, in the frame of your conversation, in the frame of your relationships, in the frame of your commitments, in the frame of your investments. Where's Jesus?
Yeah.
Keep Him in the center. When Jesus was crucified, there were three crosses on that hill. He was in the center. There was a thief on one side and another criminal on the other side. And Jesus was right in the middle. Do you know when Jesus is in the middle, He makes everything right when He's in the middle. Don't hold Him out there. He's not meant to be out there. His lane is here. That's His lane. That's His lane. Thoughts, so important. When you make Jesus the center, when you keep Him in focus, you don't miss out. You don't miss out. There's a whole lot of shiny things in life that really, at the end of the day, they mean nothing because they lead to death. Death of a lot of opportunity and hope and dream. If you keep Jesus at the center, God's plan is going to be richly rewarding you in this life and the life to come. There's a prize and a reward not only in the life to come that the Apostle Paul spoke about when Jesus, the righteous judge, will reward you for the way you've lived, but there's a prize in life right now. We don't have to be the sloth, the sluggard, live with a life in ruins. We can be blessed and live a blessed life. I want to pray that will be your path. I want to pray that for you. But here's the thing. I can pray that. But we've got to make that. We've got to prepare for that. We've got to lean into that. And keep leaning into that. Praying for that ourselves. Believing for that ourselves. Working for that ourselves. And partnering with God to see that happen. If you want to be involved in this prayer, why don't you lift up your hand right now? If you're at home today, you're engaging on a device somewhere, why don't you lift up your hand right now? Why don't we believe God together today? We're going to pray for God. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and help us as we run our race to have a faith to finish. Father, in the name of Jesus today, I pray for my family, my friends today, for our church today. Help us to be focused and keep Jesus at the center, where he belongs, right in the middle, the most important, the priority, the above all thing in our lives, our thoughts, our decisions. Help us to activate that kind of living, to have a faith that finishes is what I pray. And I pray like Paul, that we would understand there's a reward, not only in the life to come, there's a reward right now. There's a reward of blessing right now. There are people in the room that are walking right towards their blessing. They don't understand how close they are to it, but it's there. It's there. For others, it's a little bit further delayed because there's a lot of life to conquer. There's a lot of things to overcome, but it's still there. There's blessing there. It's on its way. It's on its way. Father, I declare that today. Help us to think right, to live right, to love that, to love you, to love your presence is what I pray today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's finish with this song. I can get used to this.
This is a glimpse of heaven. I can get used to this.
Oh God, I can get used to it. Christmas season, it's coming very, very quickly. Hospitality's open, cafes open right now. Why don't you enjoy some time together with friends and